Why has so much war, why has so much blood been shed over that one piece of ground? You know why Satan wants to rule and he wants to reign from that place? Because he understands very clearly that's where Jesus is coming. That's where he's setting up his kingdom. That's where he'll rule and reign from. That's his desire. He wants to be like the Most High.
Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Jay Tyler from Holt Assembly of God, and I want to welcome you to this broadcast of Life in the Spirit. The message you're about to hear today is part of a series that's entitled, You Asked For It. I asked the church family at Holt Assembly of God to pick four topics they'd like to hear me preach and share from the Word of God. The first topic they selected were the events of the end time. In Revelation 22:17, Jesus said, Behold, I am coming quickly. Are you ready should the Lord make his return today? Would your family members be ready should the Lord make his return today? I pray that you are blessed and encouraged as you hear the Word of God shared in this message. Today's message is part 7 of the timeline.
This message is part 3 of our series, You Asked For It. Again, I asked the congregation to give me 4 topics you'd like to hear me address from the pulpit. And the first one, the number one most requested, were events concerning the end times. Today's message is part 3, and this will be the final part of this part of the series on the end times. So this is part 3 of the message I've been preaching, the timeline. And there is a timeline concerning end time events. There is a timeline concerning end time events. And our understanding of those events influence our worship and our attempt to accomplish God's mission on the earth. If we believe that the events of the end have no bearing on us today, that will be reflective in our worship and how we conduct ministry. Are you following me? If we don't believe the return of Jesus is imminent, we'll become kind of lackadaisical in our worship, in our approach to God's mission. How we view this timeline is of great importance. It's not just a bunch of Bible knowledge I'm giving you here today. My hope is to inspire you and encourage you to remember that Jesus is coming, and he's coming soon. Amen? So if you have your Bible, go ahead and turn to Revelation chapter 19, and we'll be in verses 19 through 21, Revelation chapter 19. And while you're making your way there, I just want to briefly review some important truths I've been sharing in the series so far. And personally, and as a fellowship, as the Assemblies of God, we maintain this position of the rapture. We believe in a pre-tribulation rapture. We believe that Jesus is coming for his church in order to preserve us from the coming wrath, just as God preserved Noah and his family from the wrath of the flood. So a pre-tribulation rapture. Number two, we believe the tribulation should be looked at from a futurist point of view. Following the rapture, we believe there will be 7 years of tribulation where God pours out his wrath on the earth because of sin and evil. And it's during that time we believe that that's when the Antichrist is revealed, and it will be his mission to destroy believers who have come to know Christ during that period, during the tribulation. And while the earth endures tribulation, while the earth is the wrath of God is being poured out on the earth, the church is caught up to heaven, and we are participating in the marriage supper of the Lamb. So 7 years of tribulation will conclude with the physical return of the Lord Jesus, and he will come as what? King of kings and Lord of lords. Amen? And that is considered the second coming. That's what we refer to as the second coming. Jesus will return to this earth with the enemies of heaven, or excuse me, with the armies of heaven. We'll be included that. We're not enemies. We're the armies of heaven. So those of us who have been resurrected or have been raptured, we will come with Jesus. Again, we don't have to fight because he's going to do all the fighting, but we are witnesses to this event. And so Jesus comes, and he makes war with the Antichrist and the armies that he has gathered, and they're defeated in what we call the Battle of Armageddon. So that's kind of bringing you up to speed where we've been, and this is where we're going here in verse 19. And I saw the beast, the kings of the earth and the armies gathered together to make war against him who sat on the horse and against his army. Then the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet who worked signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. Verse 21, and the rest were killed with the sword, which proceeded from the mouth of him who sat on the horse. And all the birds were filled with their flesh. So Jesus obviously defeats the armies of the Antichrist. And this ends the tribulation period. but what happens next? What happens next on the timeline? What occurs after the tribulation? And we see this reflected in chapter 20, the very next chapter. And the very next verse is verse 1 of chapter 20. It goes on to say, "Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for what? 1,000 years. Verse 3, "And he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him so that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while." So Satan is obviously bound in a pit for 1,000 years, in prison for that period. During that time, during that period of 1,000 years, I think it's fairly simple and it's clear what happens to Satan. What's going on with him? He's bound. But what happens to us? What happens to us during that 1,000 years? What happens to us during the millennial reign of Christ? Let's continue on. Verses 4 and 6. "And I saw thrones, and they who sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and of the Word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image, and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who has his part in the first resurrection." You don't want to be a part of the second resurrection. You want to be a part of the first resurrection. Are you following me? "Over such that second death has no power." And here's another key. "But they shall be priests," speaking of us. "They shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. We refer to, again, this 1,000-year period as the millennial reign of Christ. Jesus returns to the earth. He binds the devil, puts him in the bottomless pit, and for 1,000 years, he establishes the kingdom of God on earth. And I want to share with you just the three most popular views there are, because there's just how there are views concerning the rapture, there are views concerning the tribulation, there are differing views in the body of Christ over this period called the millennial reign of Christ. So let's just kind of look at these briefly. I don't mean to be academic, but I think they're valuable for us to understand. So number one is this, premillennialist. Have you ever heard of that? That's a mouthful, isn't it? And I didn't even mess it up. Premillennialists believe that Christ will return in his second coming, to establish a millennial kingdom that will last for a literal 1,000-year period. Number two, this is the second view of people have concerning the millennium. Not everyone has the same view on this. It's really amazing how people read and interpret the Word of God. Number two, postmillennialists believe that the 1,000-year reign will be ushered in by the preaching of the gospel, and the nations will predominantly become Christian. The worldwide acceptance of the gospel will usher in a spiritual reign of Christ through the church, and Jesus will return when the 1,000 years are up. Postmillennialists believe the 1,000 years may or may not be a literal period of 1,000 years. That's postmillennialist. Then there's amillennialists. They believe there will not be a literal 1,000-year kingdom. Amillennialists generally believe that the number 1,000 is symbolic and believe that Revelation 20 speaks of the current age in which we live as Christ reigns in the church. Now listen to this. And in the hearts of people, according to amillennialism, Satan is currently bound and cannot hinder the preaching of the gospel as Christ builds his church. So if you didn't know, but if you haven't figured it out by now, we as a church, as a congregation, as an Assemblies of God, as just me personally even, premillennialists, we believe in a literal 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ. And so he's coming he's coming physically, he's not coming spiritually, he's coming visibly, he will be on earth, he will set up his kingdom from Jerusalem, he will rule and reign for 1,000 years. That's the difference between the differing views. The Bible has a lot to say about this subject. You know, what's interesting is this. When the Old Testament prophets would often prophesy, they would prophesy about this period. Because you understand that, we understand from this perspective, under grace, and especially as Gentiles, that a lot of Jews miss the first coming of Jesus. They don't see it in Scripture, but what they do see is the second coming. Now, they believe that's his first coming. We look at it as his second coming. Are you following me? So it's interesting, though. They believe that Messiah is coming, correct? And so we believe he's coming back. But often prophecy, they didn't see that through the eyes of prophecy, that first coming. What they often do, especially here in Zechariah, I'll point this out, this will just be one. They often saw the second coming. Zechariah 12:10, "And I will pour on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. Then they will look on me, whom they," what? "Pierced. Yes, they will mourn for him as one mourns for his only son, and grieves for him as one grieves for a firstborn." When Jesus returns as Messiah in the second coming, Jews who are looking for Messiah during that tribulation period, remember, the Antichrist and his forces are going to be on a mission to exterminate Christians and exterminate Jews. He understands very clearly that Jesus is coming to redeem the house of Israel. His focus is, again, on Jew and Gentile, and I get that, but his main focus is going to be on the house of Israel. So what's he going to do? He's trying to destroy every Jew that he can. He's going to destroy every Christian that he can. During that period, Jews are going to be looking for Messiah during that tribulation. And when he comes, they're going to say, "It was you. It was you." But Jesus is going to say, hey, listen, it's all smooth. It's okay. I'm here now. I'm here to reign. I'm here as Messiah. And they will look to him as the one who was pierced. And they will mourn for him as one mourns for his only son. So Jews looking for Messiah will submit themselves to Jesus as Lord, Savior, and King. And he will reign in Jerusalem for 1,000 years. And why is it that Jerusalem, think about this, why is it that Jerusalem has been sought after so many times? If you know anything about history, you know this. Jerusalem has been obliterated twice. Twice it's been obliterated. Besieged 23 times. Attacked 52 times, and recaptured 44 times. Why do you think so many battles? And if you look at Jerusalem, I'll be honest with you, it doesn't look that pretty to me, the landscape. You have hills, but it's a lot of rocks, it's a lot of dirt. But I would much rather fight over some fertile ground in middle America than rather fight down some dirty, nasty piece of ground in the Middle East. I'm sharing this from just a point of view that you understand, from a physical point of view. Why has so much blood been shed over that one piece of ground? You know why? Satan wants to rule and he wants to reign from that place, because he understands very clearly that's where Jesus is coming, that's where he's setting up his kingdom, that's where he'll rule and reign from. That's his desire. He wants to be like the Most High. Jerusalem will be the worldwide capital during the millennial kingdom. And those who have returned with Jesus in his second coming will be citizens of that kingdom. I said this last week. If you don't make it to Jerusalem in this life, you'll be there for 1,000 years, whether you like it or not. So what happens on earth during the millennium? What happens on earth during the millennium? Well, the Bible tells us what happens during that 1,000-year period. There's some interesting things that happen. Isaiah 2 says this in verse 2. "Now it shall come to pass in the latter days, that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it."
I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this broadcast of Life in the Spirit. I hope this message was a blessing and encouraging to you. The events of the end times should not cause us to be anxious as believers. Instead, the imminency of these great events should encourage us to ready ourselves and to ready others for the glorious return of our Savior. If you're in our area and you're looking for a church home, I want to encourage you to come and worship with us Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. We have children's ministries available. Or you can join us on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. for our family night. We have ministry opportunities for all ages, children, youth, and adults. Holt Assembly of God is located at 540 3rd Avenue in Holt, Florida. If you'd like to find out more information about our church, you can find us on the web at www.holtag.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Instagram. Our phone number is 850-537-8351. Again, I want to thank you for listening to this broadcast, and I pray that you are blessed and encouraged as you serve the Lord Jesus with a grateful heart.